God's grace and his mercy are all yours through Christ Jesus our Lord. Let's pray. Father in heaven, look down from above. Bless mommy and daddy and all whom I love. Let angels watch over my slumber, and when the morning is breaking, awake me. Amen. It's a fabulous little prayer that mentions angels, a fabulous prayer for little kids who are afraid. Kids? Little ones? If you guys are ever spooked about what's in your closet or under your bed, you can remember what Psalm 91 says, what we're talking about today. He commands his angels concerning you. But is that a good prayer for adults too? I bet that there's fewer adults in here who are afraid of the dark, or at least who'll admit it, or who are scared of what's under the bed. But for you too. Parents, grandparents, adults, it's good to remember that he commands his angels concerning you. When you're giving a hug to someone who's getting on a flight, and you won't see him for a while, you're glad that the pilots know what they're doing, but you're really glad that he commands his angels concerning you. When you're merging into traffic at 75 miles per hour, you're glad that he commands his angels concerning you. When you're worried about the world that your grandkids will inherit, you're glad that he commands his angels concerning you. And when you're holding the hand of a loved one who's going to face a surgery or a hard diagnosis, you're glad that he commands his angels concerning you. Psalm 91 is a psalm for all of us. And no matter what's under your bed or what's in your closet or what is in your life that's going to spook you, we don't need to be afraid. It's a scary world, but we don't need to be afraid because this is what God says in Psalm 91. Will you read this with me? This is the beginning of the psalm. It goes like this. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. He will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. And then for the rest of the psalm, he gets really specific about scary things that we don't have to be afraid of. So to anyone in here who wears a bulletproof vest from time to time, or if you love someone who wears a bulletproof vest, here's what the Lord says. You will not fear the terror of night, nor the arrow that flies by day. It's not a bullet that you're afraid of. Maybe there's heart disease in your family, and we call that in America the silent killer because it claims so many lives unsuspected. And yet, here's what God says about silent killers. You will not fear the pestilence that stalks in the darkness. There are things that aren't so secret, that aren't so sudden, that are coming more and more into the light of day. The opioid addiction crisis in our country. Depression, anxiety, and suicide, which are becoming more part of our conversation. Yet God says, nor the plague that destroys at midday. Even when you see it coming, we don't need to fear it. It's true that Christians will face hard times, and it's true that there are scary things in our lives, but we don't need to be afraid because here's what the Lord says. He will cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness will be your shield and your rampart. These are God's promises to protect us from the scary things in this world, even as we are enduring the scary things of this world. And one of his best comforts comes in verse 11, and this is the theme of our day today. Let's read this one together too. He will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. If you're going to face bullets, diseases, loss, and death, then you don't need that guy. Okay? The good news is that's never how the Bible describes angels. And if you're going to face all the scary things in this world, you don't need angels in the outfield. Remember that movie where there was a fast-witted outfielder who helped the angels win the pennant? That's not how God describes angels. And if you are going to face the scary things in this world, you don't need a 90s sitcom touched by an angel with a wise old man or a kind-hearted woman to share some advice to get you through your day. That's not how God describes angels. And you don't need one of your loved ones who's passed on to come back into your life and put a hand on your shoulder. And that's not how the Bible describes angels. No, here's what the Bible says about angels. It says that they were created by God, that God created all things, including the angels, and they were very good. It says that they're invisible spirits. Hebrews chapter 1 says that aren't all angels spirits who minister to the people of God? It means they don't normally have a body like you and I. But sometimes they do appear, and sometimes they appear as fearful creatures with wings, and sometimes they appear so ordinary as human beings that Hebrews says that people actually encounter angels without ever knowing it. But just because they sometimes look like humans, don't ever think that they are like us in every way. No, because they are very, very strong. Here's what 2 Chronicles 32 says about an angel. This is a true story. The Lord sent an angel. How many? An angel who annihilated all the fighting men, all the commanders, and all the officers in the camp of the Assyrian king. That's the world's most powerful army, undone by one angel. They are miraculously powerful. And so if God only had one angel, he could take down any army. And yet, what did we hear in our reading from Revelation? That then I heard the voice of many angels numbering thousands upon thousands and 10,000 times 10,000. If God had one angel, he'd be fine, but he's got millions and millions of angels. And get this. God's army of super soldiers who are ultimately fast and ultimately strong, and there's millions of them who could undo an army all one at a time, God commands his angels concerning you. He commands his angels concerning you. One of those angels could catch a stray bullet like a pop fly. One of those angels could guide the hand of a surgeon way better than any modern technology. And one of those angels can direct traffic better than any police officer or system that our government could put in place. Angels will one day carry us to our Father's side in heaven, and they do all that because in his love, God has commanded his angels concerning you. But here's the problem. As powerful as they are, and as many as they are, angels aren't enough. Angels can keep you safe from bad guys and bullets and diseases, but the world is scarier than that. If you think this isn't a scary world, then you need to reread Psalm 91 and hear all the scary things. But if you think that all the things you see are the scary parts of this world, then you need to reread it again. Because this world is far scarier than it looks. Our fight is not against bad guys or bullets or diseases. Will you read with me the words of the Apostle Paul? Here's what he says. Our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. The spiritual forces of evil. Are you thinking what I'm thinking? This is the devil and all his demons. And here's what the Bible says about the devil. The devil's actually all over Psalm 91 as well. Remember those angels that we talked about who could destroy a whole army? Well, the devil was created as an angel before he fell and sinned against God and rebelled. And keep in mind, that means that Satan, our enemy, has all the power of that angel who destroyed a whole army single-handedly. Psalm 91 also talks about a cobra and a serpent. Remember when the devil first appeared in the world in the Garden of Eden? He came as a snake and he lied to Adam and Eve. He wanted to do worse than bite them. He wanted to kill their relationship with God. And so he said, "Did God really say that you can't eat from the trees? I tell you, you will not die. You'll be like God." He always lies. And the scariest part of that story, the devil as a snake, is they believed him. Psalm 91 talks about a fowler's snare. a bird hunter will set out a net that's got a string around it and then put some bird seed in the middle and wait. And when a bird comes along to get that bait, wham, he's caught. And the devil is a patient hunter. He sets his lie, his temptation, in the trap, and he will wait for hours, for days, for years, for decades, until you fall in love with his lie, and then wham, could he catch you? Psalm 91 calls the devil a lion. Remember what St. Peter wrote? Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Yeah, our enemy, the devil, hates us. Could he eat you? But the scariest thing about the devil is not what Psalm 91 says about the devil. It's the other way around. It's what the devil says about Psalm 91. Because here's what he can do. He takes God's promises about angels, the ones that we love, and he uses them to convince us to sin. What the devil says about Psalm 91 is so scary and dangerous. He did this to Jesus. You remember that? It was in Matthew chapter 4. Here's what it says. The devil took Jesus to the holy city and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. If you are the Son of God, he said, throw yourself down. For it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and they will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. He still does this. The devil is here, and he whispers to you, he will command his angels, so go ahead. Have yet still another drink. He will command his angels, so go ahead. Those laws about texting and driving are foolish. Go ahead. Indulge yourself with that person who's not your spouse. No one's going to get hurt. Besides, he commands his angels concerning you. He lies. He always lies. And the scariest part of that story is that we believe him. Make no mistake, this world is far scarier than it appears. Because the devils are everywhere. Let me rephrase that. Super powerful serpent snakes who hate you are everywhere. And yet, somehow, our church has adopted this song as one of its favorites. Though devils all the world should fill, all eager to devour us, we tremble not. We fear no ill. They shall not overpower us. How in the world can we have such confidence in a world full of Satan? Well, don't ever think it's because you're strong enough to defeat him. Don't ever think that, and the hymn says as much, right? With might of ours, can nothing be done? If we did that, we would soon have our loss. But for us fights the valiant one whom God himself elected. You ask, who is this? And I'm telling you, it's not an angel. An angel is not your savior. You ask, who is this? Jesus Christ it is. The Almighty Lord. And there's no other God. He holds the field forever. Can you picture Jesus doing battle on a battlefield with Satan? And he holds the field. He doesn't give an inch. You remember how he did that, right? When the devil tempted Jesus to jump off the temple and he twisted God's word from Psalm 91, Jesus didn't give an inch. Instead, he quoted God's word right back at him. Jesus said, "It is written, do not put the Lord your God to the test." You see what happened? Even though we sometimes believe the devil's lies, and we get caught in his traps, and he can devour us like a prowling lion, Jesus never gives an inch to Satan. He holds the field forever. And Jesus' disciples learned how true that was. Do you remember in our gospel reading today, Pastor Rosh read about 72 disciples who went out, and they came back, and they said to Jesus, it's amazing, even the demons submit to us. They saw Jesus' power over the devil. And what did Jesus say? He said, I saw Satan fall like lightning from the sky. I saw Satan fall. What did Jesus see? He certainly saw that moment on the temple when he beat the devil at his own game. And he saw every other day in his life when he never gave an inch to Satan's temptations. But most of all, Jesus saw Satan fall when Jesus went to the cross. Because with his perfect life and his innocent death, Jesus nullified every victory the devil's ever won over you or me. And Jesus has handed you the victory that he won over Satan. And so you are not going to be punished for all the times the devil has tricked you, because Jesus was punished instead. And so you go back and you read through Psalm 91 with Jesus on the page, and you say, holy cats. Remember this passage? Surely he will save you from the fowler's snare. Can you picture Jesus ripping open the devil's temptation, ripping open the net, and setting you free to live a new life where you're not subject to his power? Or you remember this passage? You will tread upon the lion and the cobra. You will trample the great lion and the serpent. Can you picture Jesus pulverizing those predators so that you can walk through a world full of devils with confidence that you are going to end up in heaven? That Jesus is the one who destroyed the work of the devil. He said as much with this passage. Let's read this one together. The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the devil's work. And that picture is in your bulletin on the same page as the sermon. And it shows the devil being destroyed. That's the devil underneath the spear. But weirdly enough, that's not Jesus who's hovering over the devil. That's actually a picture of Saint Michael, the archangel. Because in Revelation chapter 12, that's what the Bible says, that Saint Michael will kill the devil, will defeat the devil in a great battle, and all his angels. But in this picture, and in the one in your bulletin, the weapon that Michael is using is a spear or a cross. You know what the weapon is in Revelation chapter 12? Here's a direct quote. They triumphed over him by the blood of the Lamb. So if you're a little kid and you're coloring in your bulletin right now, or if you're an adult who's taking notes, I want you to add something to the picture. I want you to add a droplet to the ends of those angels' weapons. That's your reminder that there's one thing in this world that will always defeat the devil. That there's one truth in this world that the devil cannot stand. It's this truth, that the blood of Jesus purifies you from all sins. The blood of Jesus purifies us from all sins. And that's why the angels can destroy the devil. That's why you can face him without fear. The blood of Jesus purifies us from all sins. So it makes me wonder, what are these angels, as they kill the devil, what are they thinking about? And I've got an educated guess. I'm guessing they are thinking about Jesus because angels are obsessed with Jesus. That's the last thing you're going to learn about angels today, that angels are obsessed with Jesus. Every time you meet an angel in the Bible and he opens his mouth so you can hear what's going on in his head, it's all about Jesus. So here's a couple examples. In Isaiah, the prophet Isaiah meets a whole room full of angels and they're flying around and he says, I am lost. I'm a man of unclean lips and I live among a people of unclean lips. And then an angel, one of the seraphs, flies and gets a coal from the altar and touches it to his lips, and this is what the angel says. This is what the angel's thinking about. See, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away. Your sins are atoned for. Because angels are obsessed with Jesus taking away our sins. Then you fast forward. So angels appear to Joseph and Mary before Jesus is born. And here's what they say. You are to give him the name Jesus because he will save his people from their sins. Angels are obsessed with Jesus taking away our sins. And at the resurrection, Jesus rises from the dead and angels are right there. And what do they say? I know you're looking for Jesus who was crucified, but he is not here. He is risen just as he said. So can you guess what angels talk about on Christmas night? Jesus. And can you guess what they talk about when Jesus ascends into heaven? Jesus. And can you guess what they're singing about in heaven right now? Jesus. That's right. They're singing, worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and praise. Angels are obsessed with Jesus. so they don't want you to be obsessed with them. They don't want you to worship them or pray to them. They want you to be obsessed with Jesus too. We started the sermon today with a prayer that included angels, right? Dear Father in heaven, look down from above. Bless mommy and daddy and all whom I love. Send angels to watch over my slumber. And when the morning is breaking, awake me, amen. That's a great prayer to remember angels. But let's close with a prayer that's suitable for moms and dads, grandmas, grandpas, and little kids. That keeps our eyes focused on angels and on Jesus. Will you please stand with me and pray Luther's evening prayer? We pray. I thank you, my heavenly Father, through Jesus Christ, your dear Son, that you have graciously kept me this day. Forgive me all my sins and graciously keep me this night. Into your hands I commend my body and soul and all things. Let your holy angel be with me, that the wicked foe may have no power over me. Amen.